NBC Monitor News on the hour, brought to you by the entire family of Wins products that keep your car going strong. Here's Jeffrey Pond.
Officials of the American Newspaper Guild today denied knowing that funds donated by private foundations for the union's activities abroad had come from the CIA. But the Guild confirmed that five foundations have given it at least $900,000 since 1960. Two of those foundations are said to be funnels for CIA money. The Newspaper Guild said it will break its ties with any foundation that's connected with the intelligence agency. A Soviet broadcast claims that Chinese rebel forces have seized almost complete control of Inner Mongolia from Mao Zedong's supporters. Moscow also says Mao's opponents hold just about all of Tibet. But Tibetan exiles listening to broadcasts from Tibet's capital, Lhasa, report indications that Mao's forces are succeeding in their drive to regain control. Other reports today mention rebellions against Mao by communist troops in Hubei and Sichuan provinces and setbacks for his cause in Shantung province and the Port Arthur region of Manchuria. There have been new reports lately that Mao's health is failing and that he's badly paralyzed. But the foreign minister of the African nation Mauritania said today that he met Mao in Peking several days ago and the aging leader's health appeared to be excellent. A British communist newspaper today published what was said to be North Vietnam's proposed sequence of events leading to peace. The paper Morning Star quoted a North Vietnamese foreign ministry spokesman as saying that first, U.S. air attacks must end. The spokesman reportedly said peace talks could then begin. His statement said Hanoi would not budge from its four conditions for peace, but they would not be an essential prelude to negotiations. Besides a cessation of bombing, the conditions include U.S. withdrawal from South Vietnam and a political settlement favoring the Viet Cong. Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia has offered to be the middleman between the United States and North Vietnam to arrange peace talks. His proposal was broadcast today by the Voice of America, which interviewed Selassie before he ended his American visit last night. The emperor plans a trip to Moscow this spring, but U.S. officials say he has not been asked to relay any peace feelers. More news after this from Wins Products.
Presenting the Wynn Oil Company Corral under the direction of John Philip Azusa. Now, speaking for the Wynn Oil Company, Mr. Keenan Wynn.
Thank you. This is Keenan Wynn. It has come to my attention that many of you still think I'm related to the Wynn Oil Company people of Azusa. We do spell our name the same way, W-Y-N-N. But the relationship ends there. In other words, I want to assure you that I didn't get this job because I'm a cousin or a nephew. I did get the job because I know Wynn's products. I've used them, and they're good. At your service station, ask for Wynn's famous friction proofing, Wynn's engine tune-up, Wynn's new charge, and many more. All designed to keep your car going strong by the Wynn Oil Company of Azusa.
Azusa, Azusa, California. But keep your car going strong, capital of the world.
Once again, Jeffrey Pond.
A Navy jet crashed today in the Southern California desert, 16 miles northwest of El Centro. The Navy has not confirmed or denied a report that the pilot was a member of the spectacular Blue Angel precision flying team and that he was killed. The plane fell close to the same spot where a Blue Angel team member died in a crash earlier this month. If today's crash did take the life of a Blue Angel, it would be the third fatal crash the team has suffered in 5 months. Jordanian sources report that King Hussein's government plans to withdraw its recognition of the Republican regime in Yemen. No reason is given, but Jordan objects to the presence in Yemen of Egyptian forces backing the Republicans. Jordan is friendly with Saudi Arabia, which supports the royalist side in the Yemeni civil war. The royalist deputy premier said today that he has asked UN Secretary General Thant to order a fact-finding study of the conflict in Yemen. Republican Governor Romney of Michigan today flew to Anchorage, Alaska from Seattle, Washington, accompanied by a big retinue that included 40 newsmen. In his appearances in Washington yesterday and again today in the trip to Alaska, Romney's tour bore all the signs of a quest for the presidential nomination, but the governor insists that he doesn't mean he's a candidate. The hardest week of ground fighting in South Vietnam since last fall has ended with communist forces apparently taking over in the wake of heavy losses. An American spokesman in Saigon said there was no significant contact with the enemy today. The communists may be attempting to regroup. They are said to have lost more than 1,000 dead since fighting resumed last Sunday after the Tet New Year truce. Bad weather continued to hamper American airstrikes against North Vietnam. A Chinese broadcast said the North Vietnamese had downed 3 U.S. aircraft today, including a pilotless reconnaissance plane. In the air over South Vietnam, U.S. B-52 heavy bombers struck 4 communist targets, making a total of 15 saturation raids in the last 3 days. Jeffrey Pond, NBC News, New York.
Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News.
News of Big Town USA next on The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York. It's 26 degrees in New York, and it's snowing lightly. This is Roger Bowman with Metropolitan Area Headlines. Michael Sviriduff, New York City's Human Resources Administrator, is urging the federal government to give anti-poverty funds directly to cities. Sviriduff claims that the state agencies are not responsive to city needs. He says the city is the stepchild in the anti-poverty program. William Booth, the New York City Human Rights Commissioner, says a national conference on neighborhood relations will be held in New York City in May. The conference will be sponsored by the Commission and Brandeis University. A group calling itself the Peanut Citizens Committee staged a funeral procession through Yonkers today to protest the state's plan to convert Bates Memorial Hospital into a center for drug addicts. The group says it took its name from Lieutenant Governor Malcolm Wilson's remark that only peanut politicians are against the center. One of the cars carried a sign saying, "Elephants never forget, neither will the peanuts." 2 people, one a young mother who fell 5 stories from a fire escape, were killed today in an apartment house fire in Yonkers. The woman, 29-year-old Shirley Watson, fell as she tried to lead her 3 children away from the flames. 2 of her children also fell. 1 was critically injured. The other death was an unidentified man whose body was found in an apartment. 3 bodies have been recovered from the rubble that once was a chemical plant in Hawthorne, New Jersey. 11 people are missing, believed dead after the explosion that leveled the glue and dye plant yesterday. 16 others were injured. Rescue crews continue to sift through the debris looking for bodies. Mayor Lindsay, his wife, and his brother David plan a long weekend skiing in Vermont. They will be at Mad River Glen, where David Lindsay has a home, and will return Monday night. Flames wrecked 7 frame buildings in Hyde Park today. Firemen evacuated 5 families from the buildings and cleared a hotel of guests as a precaution. No one was reported seriously injured. Damage was estimated at $100,000. And those are the late Metropolitan Area News headlines.
Your best weekend companion anywhere. And since good companions always do a friend a favor, we'll have some expert income tax advice for you about 3 minutes from now, when our guest will be one of the most well-known tax consultants in the nation. Sports and plenty of good music, too. So come on in. The listening's fine. Your host, Ed McMahon. We're off with Steve and Edie and a great arrangement of The Honeymoon is Over.
When your husband doesn't touch your best dessert, when you find the purple lipstick on his shirt, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over and you better be on the alert.
When your wife decides that she should wear the pants, when she puts you down each time she gets the chance, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over and you'd better search for some romance.
Time you saw your ultra dealer, yeah, ask him whether you'd find another nest to feather.
When your wife is bored by every joke you tell, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over and you may as well pack up, move on, tell him, darling, that he will.
Good boy, Charlie.
husband suddenly is
when your wife is bored by jokes you tell.
When your wife is bored by jokes you tell. Dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over.
April 15th, the deadline for filing your federal income tax report, looms large and ominous on the personal calendar of many American taxpayers. But income tax needn't be the confusing, frustrating, irritating experience comedians and cartoonists make of it. A few simple do's and don'ts can be very helpful at this time of year when most of us are rounding up financial records of 66 in preparation for filing. Henry Block, who with his brother operates one of the largest tax consultant businesses in the nation, offers some valuable advice as he talks with Monitor reporter Del Donahue.
Henry, I understand the Internal Revenue Service will, for the first time this year, check every return.
That's correct, Del. The Internal Revenue has computers installed across the country now so that they can check every return that is filed mathematically and to uncover any type of interest or dividend or other types of income that has been reported to them, so that everything had better be reported and that every return had better be double-checked for mathematical accuracy.
Are these checks by the so-called electronic brain likely to lead to full audits for many of us?
Yes, they undoubtedly will, because any unusual deviations from a norm found by the computer will be selected for audit. A good example of this would be any type of a casualty. By this, I mean tornado, hurricane, fire, flood, because these losses are quite large. And if you show a large, unusual deduction, the Internal Revenue will undoubtedly ask you to prove this item.
So the important thing, I suppose, is to keep proper records. Now, what advice do you have about record keeping?
I think that whenever you have an item that you know will be deducted on your income tax, you should keep and file away proof of payment of this item. If it's a canceled check, if it's a receipt, whatever it is, keep proof for every item that you deduct, and you'll never get in any trouble as long as you report all of your income.
What's the most common oversight as far as deductions are concerned?
There are many. If you go category by category and check each item that might be deductible, I am sure that any taxpayer will discover some item he is not deducting. For example, even a telephone could be a medical deduction for a patient who has heart trouble and is required by the doctor to keep a telephone by his or her bedside.
Let's consider this situation for a moment, Henry. In many families, there are teenagers who are working, earning a pretty good paycheck, but living at home. Now, can the parents take that teenager as a deduction?
Yes, he can, if the child is either under 19 or a full-time student at a school. He can be claimed by his parents as a dependent, even though his income is over $600. Even if his income is $10,000, he could be claimed. But the parents must provide over 50% of the support. And if the child is married, he cannot file a joint return with his wife. This is often overlooked.
What about the serviceman in Vietnam or elsewhere? Doesn't he and his family have quite a problem in filing returns?
He has, because of the time element of getting returns over to him and back in time for the April 15th deadline. So this year, the Internal Revenue says if your husband is in Vietnam, he need not sign the return, but instead the wife can sign his name to it, and it will still be a joint return.
We've talked about some of the mistakes, some of the oversights in filing a return, Henry. What advice do you have for getting everything done properly?
First, be sure you sign your return. And if it's a joint return, be sure that your husband or wife signs also. Second, be sure that your W-2s are attached to your return. If they are not attached, no refund can be made, and your return cannot be processed as it should be. And finally, recheck the entire return before mailing it. I don't mean just go over the addition and subtraction. Recheck every item on the return. Be sure that everything you put down is correct.
And of course, I suppose it's always advisable to file as early as possible.
Right. Don't wait till the last minute, because if you do, that letter could go astray and you could receive a penalty notice for filing late.
Thank you very much, Henry. I think your comments have been most helpful to us. Our monitor guest, Henry Block, president of H&R Block, America's largest income tax service with headquarters in Kansas City.
Well, now, that should give you a few basic guidelines in preparing your federal income tax return. But if you have a specific tax question unique to your financial situation, consult your nearest U.S. Internal Revenue office.
I like the way it tastes.
I agree. There's nothing like a lark.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
Lark has a good, easy taste.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today. Have a lark today. There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I think they're the nicest cigarette there is.
Right. There's nothing like a lark.
Have a lark today.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
During the winter months, athletes traditionally travel the rubber chicken or banquet circuit. Joe Garagiola has collected some of his favorite quotes from this year's speakers, and he'll share them with you just 4 minutes from now. So stay on the monitor beacon.
Who's watching the score? Bill Mazur. Weeknights at 5 on the big voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.
Hi. This is Bill Mazur inviting you to join me on WNBC, the big voice of Big Town USA, weekdays after the 5 p.m. news, as I keep you in touch with Big Town, rich in its heritage of religious freedom, where in 1674, John Fenwick founded America's first Quaker colony in Salem, New Jersey. Big Town USA.
Heart attack, stroke, high blood pressure, rheumatic fever, inborn heart defects. These are the diseases your heart association is vigorously fighting. 1,500 research scientists continue to search for new and effective ways to prevent and control these diseases. Remember, your heart association is the only voluntary national health agency devoted exclusively to reducing health and disability due to the heart and circulatory diseases. Give to the Heart Fund. It's your way to help.
And every weekend on NBC Radio, everyone everywhere stays with Monitor. One of the reasons, our music. The best, newest, most popular across the country. And at 19 minutes after the hour, here's a perfect example. Petula Clark's latest, What Would I Be?
The angry voices raise in vain. The feeling deep inside of pain. Sometimes I think it's not worthwhile. Until once more I see. We both regret. Forgive the past, but can't forget. Sometimes I just don't understand. Until once more I hold your hand. What would I be without your love? I'll never know. If I were free, what could I do? Where would I go? I'm only me. And I love you so. Sometimes it seems I can't go on. Sometimes it feels that everything we have.
together through the years. You only have to love me too.
Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by Chrysler Marine Products, Chrysler Corporation. Here's Joe.
It's about time to take one last look at the banquet circuit, and I'll be back to do just that after this from the Marine Products Group of the Chrysler Corporation. The Chrysler crew comes through for you in 1967, adding the exciting new Hydro-V boats to their great boating lineup. The Hydro-V runabouts have a patented new hull that combines the best features of hydroplane and deep-V design. We call them more fun per foot because their specially designed hull gives you more cubic feet of room per foot of boat length. And each Hydro-V boat has sports car type swiveling bucket seats, teak grain vinyl dash inserts, and marine carpeting. Team up the 14-foot Charger 118 with the Chrysler outboard, and you've got a craft perfect for skiing or just cruising around. If you want a bigger boat, you'll pick the 23-foot Clipper 486 or one of the four other Hydro-Vs, six in all, from 14 to 23 feet. One's just right for your family. And speaking of water fun, be sure to see the 27 new Chrysler outboards. Visit a member of the Chrysler crew, your nearest Chrysler Marine Products dealer soon, and see all the new Chrysler boats, outboards, and trailers, too. This is the time of the year when the banquet circuit is winding up, and I thought that now might be a good time to take a look back at some of the better quotes from this year's banquets. Somehow a sports banquet just didn't seem right without Frank Robinson, the Baltimore Slugger, who walked off with the lion's share of the trophies this winter. As he traveled around the country, Frank not only said thank you, but also gave a bit of valuable training advice at the same time. Robinson pointed out, "To me, the most important meal of the day is breakfast. If I'm not home by then, my wife starts to really get mad." Another baseball player who made a lot of stops on the banquet circuit was Kansas City's rookie pitcher, Jim Nash. He's a modest young man, so he didn't talk very much about his pitching ability. But he's also a loyal son of Alabama, and he stood up and said, "Even though I'm from Alabama, I'm willing to agree that our football team was only number three in the country. However, we'd be willing to play either Green Bay or Kansas City for one of the top two spots." Bart Starr told audiences that he was reminded of the football coach who addressed his team after a loss and said, "You know, fellas, there's an old saying that goes, it matters not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. And you guys played lousy." At the St. Louis Baseball Writers' Dinner, one of the honored guests was a hometown boy, Cincinnati outfielder Art Shamsky. When he got up to speak, he started to thank a lot of people, and then he said, "I suppose that I should also say that I'd like to thank my manager, but that's ridiculous, because he didn't play me." Another award winner this year was Dodgers manager Waller Alston. At the New York Writers' Dinner, he accepted his trophy and then said, "I haven't been this happy since the last game of the 1966 season when we beat Philadelphia to win the pennant, and I haven't had much chance to be happy since then." This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports. And now this from the Marine Products Group of the Chrysler Corporation. There are six great additions to the Chrysler boat lineup this year. Six brand new Hydro-V runabouts with a patented kind of hull that skims you over the water like a hydroplane, slices through rough water like a deep V. Hydro-V boats are available in sizes from 14 to 23 feet, and they're all more fun per foot. Be sure to check out the 27 new fun-engineered Chrysler outboards, too. Visit a member of the Chrysler crew, your nearest Chrysler Marine Products dealer, and see the Chrysler outboards, boats, and trailers, too.
Sports with Joe Garagiola, a regular feature every weekend on Monitor and weekdays on NBC Radio. Joe returns later today on the segment hosted by Ted Steele, who, by the way, has another interesting evening arranged for you. Among the guests, actor Michael Caine will discuss psychiatry in London and Hollywood. Bandleader Cy Zentner offers opinions about big band renaissance. Much more, of course, including music, comedy, information, entertainment. Everything for good listening. Be sure to be tuned tonight to monitor.
Agent 00 Breck has a suds balm for you. But you don't have to duck. It's only shampoo. What a shampoo. It makes you feel great. In each plastic tube at a price that's quite low is Breck quality for a gal or her beau. Just a dab of shampoo, some water, then wow, Breck Concentrate lathers up with a pow. A balm full of suds is a feeling that's great with the gentle power of Breck Concentrate.
Across the country, it's Monitor every weekend. And KWBW, Hutchison, Kansas, is NBC covering Midway USA. Hello, Hutchison. And salutations to all NBC stations who are about to identify themselves, after which we'll return. This is Ed McMahon.
Monitor, going places and meeting people on the NBC Radio Network.
Wetson's, for people who like delicious food. Wetson's invites you and your family to enjoy their taste-tempting food and beverages. You'll marvel at the low prices and high quality. You'll revel at the delicious sizzling food prepared before your eyes in their sparkling, clean, sunlit kitchen. So whenever you and your family are in the mood for something delicious to eat, wherever you are, go as you are to a Wetson's hamburger drive-in restaurant. At Wetson's, you can select either a quick, nourishing snack or a complete, delicious meal. At Wetson's, you're sure to savor those palate-pleasing hamburgers, grilled, juicy, and flavorful for your genuine eating pleasure. French fries, golden brown to crisp perfection, adds zest as a delicious companion treat. And Wetson's thick shakes, creamy and delicious, complement your delicious snack or meal. Or you might try a hot chocolate served piping hot. What delicious taste treats are now awaiting you at Wetson's? In Pine Brook, New Jersey, there's a Wetson's on Route 46 at the Hook Mountain Road traffic light. In Levittown, Long Island, a Wetson's is located at 3946 Hempstead Turnpike. For the Wetson's nearest you, check the phone book. It's 26 degrees and snowing lightly in Big Town. WNBC AM at FM New York, the big voice of Big Town, USA.
At home or away, the weekend's more satisfying when you relax or travel with The Go Show, Monitor 67. In this half hour, British actor Robert Shaw, the national weekend weather picture, and in 3 minutes, Arlene Francis with guest comedian Jackie Vernon, who has some wild tips on kooky cooking. I'm Ed McMahon. We have great music, too. Like the one from the Maurice Bowers Singers, What's More American?
What's more American than cornflakes? The 4th of July and Uncle Sam. What's more American than baseball?
Monitor, Arlene Francis, brought to you by Orlon 33 Acrylic, the DuPont carpet fiber that never gets tired, and James Lee's Carpets. Here's Arlene.
In 1 minute, my guest will be comedian Jackie Vernon. Well, now, let's get down to business. Carpet business and carpets for business. Did you know that Lee's elegant Mark Royal carpet is constructed for commercial use? Naturally, it's got to be very durable, got to stand up to the trample of traffic all day long. That's why Lee's Mark Royal is made with pile of Orlon 33 acrylic by DuPont, the springy carpet fiber that stays that way.
Springier, fancier, it's the carpet fiber that's livelier. Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
Lee's Mark Royal, the commercial carpet with the handcrafted look, is made to stay springier, bouncier, livelier, longer. Made with Orlon 33 acrylic.
Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
Jackie Vernon, you travel around the country a great deal filling nightclub engagements. Do you find yourself eating in a lot of expensive restaurants?
Years ago, when I was making very small money at nightclubs, you had to budget yourself if you wanted to leave the club with any money at all. So you'd find a small restaurant with a truck driver's aid,
yeah.
You know, and you get used to things like chili, hamburgers.
Three times a day.
But now, yeah, I could eat anywhere I want, you know, the 21 if I wanted to. And I still order chili and hamburgers.
You follow the same pattern, huh?
And the strange thing about it is I put on a little weight in the last couple of years. And people at the World Telegram sent a woman up to interview me about recipes. So I made up some fantastic recipes that I know don't exist.
Wish you'd tell us one.
Well, one was the turkey stuffed with a chicken. And she, you know, and I did a very straight face. And she says, you really? I said, I said, it's an old Indian recipe. You get a big turkey. I said, and then you take a small chicken and you stuff it into turkey. And she said, well, what does that do? I said, well, it gives the turkey a chicken flavor. And she wrote, and they printed it the next day, and I was aghast. I said, how many people are going to try this?
There will be some. You know that, don't you?
It might be good, you know.
Now that you mention it, let's go home and cook a little.
Oh, gosh. It was funny, though, because my wife said, how could you do that to that poor lady? She was, you know, she was very sincere. Cute little lady from the World Telegram. And I gave her a couple other recipes. I gave, the Jell-O. Everything. Well, you have to make Jell-O in a sink, you see, to get the right flavor. So, well, how do you gel it in a sink? So we have to have a sink near the window. You have to leave the window open.
And you did this all straight face.
Yeah.
I like to put people on. Yes, you do. But then you do it in an endearing way, as I said.
No, don't hurt anybody.
No, that's right, Jack. Is your wife a performer, too, Jack?
No, she never was a performer. She was a female bartender when I met her in Baltimore.
Was she?
At a very nice club, though. And we went out together, and she liked all the nutty things that I liked. And that's what attracted us to each other.
I think it's marvelous that you found each other. There is somebody for everybody, isn't there, Jackie?
Well, like on our honeymoon night, we stayed at a hotel in Baltimore. And rather than go and, you know, say we were married, I had the window on the first floor there, the room on the first floor. And I pulled the sheet down, and she climbed the sheet and came in through the window, just like we were cheating, you know. And then when they caught us, and we showed them the marriage certificate, and, you know.
Spoiled all the fun. Does she travel with you?
Well, not anymore. We have two children now. We have David and Lisa. Not because of the movie. It was the names we had picked out before.
Before the movie came out?
No, before the kids came.
Oh.
And they're just great kids. They live the way we do. They do everything we do, you know.
They like chili and hamburgers.
We do have a lot of chili and hamburgers.
Thank you, Jackie. My guest has been comedian Jackie Vernon, who is destined to go through life eating chili and hamburgers. Here's more from that new world of liveliness in carpeting. Lee's new Charlestown, the thick, fat, roly-poly carpet that's super resilient because it's made with pile of DuPont Orlon 33 acrylic.
Spring here. Bouncier, it's a carpet fiber that's livelier, springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
For a lot of good, down-to-earth reasons, those heavenly carpets by Lee's.
Listen again tomorrow when Orlon 33 from DuPont and James Lee's Carpets again present Arlene Francis. 5 minutes away, British actor Robert Shaw, who's also a prize-winning author, brings us up to date on his movie making around the world. So stay right here on the Monitor Beacon.
When you join Mimi Benzel for lunch, you'll find her guests are a treat. Weekdays at noon on the Big Voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.
The early morning sound of Big Town USA is the early morning sound of Big Wilson, NBC. Make the big time your time by rising to the situation with Big Wilson. Let Biggie's music, news, and conversation keep you in touch with Big Town. Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on WNBC, the big voice of Big Town, USA.
Once again, here's more of Monitor at 15 minutes before the hour. British actor Robert Shaw, who's also a prize-winning author, born in England, brought up in Scotland, really deserves the description versatile. As a performer, he's appeared in all media, playing everything from Shakespeare to Pinter. He's also a former school teacher, a poet, a playwright, novelist, and sportscaster at the 1960 Olympic Games. His most recent motion picture assignments have had him cast as a famous British monarch and then an American military hero. He brings us up to date on his film career in this visit with Monitor reporter Charlie Holmes.
Robert Shaw, you recently finished a movie, a very exciting one, titled A Man for All Seasons, in which you portrayed Henry VIII. How much research did you have to do to play a part like this?
Well, I read the script once, naturally. And I read a book about Henry VIII, one book about Henry VIII. And I decided that my sympathies are all with the king, not with Sir Thomas More, partly because I have seven children and six of them are girls. And what Henry VIII most wanted to do was to have a son. And I felt this problem so deeply throughout the whole scene that when he has this line, he's this line too, Maury says, I have no son, don't you understand? I managed to fill that with a great deal of realism. But in fact, I mean, Henry VIII was a most extraordinary, courageous, in a way, much maligned man, because, I mean, he was one of the best kings England ever had.
Why?
Well, because, for one thing, he kept us at peace longer than pretty well anybody else has. The Navy, all the business side of things prospered, and while he was attacked, of course, by the Catholic Church, because he turned England into a Protestant country because he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn and all that business, the people, you know, always loved him. It was only the Church that came under attack. He's one of the most popular monarchs, as far as the people were concerned, England ever had. And they didn't care tuppence that he wanted a divorce and marry Anne Boleyn. They understood his problem. And it's really, I found this rather endearing. And of course, as a young man, before the debauchery set in and the drinking and all those other things, which I can't really speak about over the radio, but before he really got down to divorcing them all, of course, he was a great athlete, you know, a terrific tennis player, and wrote all his own, a lot of his own music. And he was a marvelous rider, a terrific horseman. I find a great liking for the old man, as a matter of fact.
What was his age at the time you played him?
Well, technically, when I played him, he was 37, 38. But the author, Robert Bolt, has written it so that he would seem to be younger than he was. Now, as I am 38, I had this rather terrible problem, as I'm beginning to look so old, of trying to look younger than I am. But in fact, Henry and I were the same age, 38, just about that time.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, you finished Henry VIII, and the picture following was about our General Custer.
Right, sir.
Isn't that a great change of pace?
Well, then again, with the historical figure, you know, I went from one to the other very quickly. In fact, I began General Custer literally 24 hours after I finished Henry VIII, and in Henry VIII I got this red hair and this red beard, and I got to Spain on the plane, and they dyed my hair blonde during the first production conference, and they cut down the beard to Custer's size, because, of course, Custer was blonde, and they called him Fanny at West Point, you know, that was his nickname. And so I then played General Custer. In this case, to tell you the honest truth, I think that the portrait of Custer, I hope so very much, because you know how terrible all these epics usually are. After all, they're all pretty well always dishonest. But I think that the portrait of Custer this time might shake a lot of American people because it's much nearer the truth. I don't say it's the perfect truth. How could you get that in a great big movie? I mean, there's nobody ever going to do that when you know, it's a $12 million movie. They're always going to safeguard their interest to some extent. But as epics go, I think this is a much truer portrait of Custer than there ever was before. I mean, I play him as a fanatic, hard man with a self-destructive streak in him that took them all to damnation and death there in that valley. You know?
I think one of the most curious things to us Americans is when a British actor portrays an American and has to overcome the accent problem. And
yeah.
We have all kinds of accents in this country.
We see it in reverse in England, but when you think that Heston has just played General Gordon, who is our hero, and then you get Kirk Douglas playing Van Gogh, the French painter. So the whole thing has gone, and I think the last Custer was Errol Flynn. So we've always been stuck with this, but I have used an American accent, but I've tried to use a rather neutral Midwestern accent, something like I think that Custer must have spoken at the end of the 19th century, and I suspect that Custer's accent was probably much nearer mine than a contemporary American. After all, he was only just second generation. I mean, his father was a blacksmith, And his father had come from England. And believe it or not, it's absolutely true, in at least in one historical source, my hometown is exactly the same as Custer. And Custer's father, his name, according to some sources, was spelled C-U-R-S-I-T-E-R, Cursiter. Scotsman coming from the Orkney Islands, right up at the top of Scotland. That's where they say he lived. And I lived there until I was 15. This is, you think I was making this up for publicity, but quite true.
Can you do some of a few lines as Custer?
No, I'd be too insecure at that point. You have to go and see the picture. You have to pay the money to see my Midwestern
accent. Can't even get one line.
No, not even one line.
Thank you, Robert Shaw, star of the motion picture A Man for All Seasons and outstanding author, for a most interesting chat.
Thank you.
This is Charlie Holmes for Monitor.
Mr. Shaw, meanwhile, continues to pound out books before, during, and after movie jobs. On a recent filming assignment in Spain, he spent his free time collecting material for a novel on the Spanish Civil War. Well, it's nice to keep busy. By the way, let's get busy on the weekend weather picture from coast to coast. Cold, snowy, and rainy today across the northeastern section of the country. Mostly sunny, meanwhile, throughout the south and central plains. Tomorrow, generally sunny skies for most of the country. Scattered snow from the Rockies to the Mississippi Valley. And it'll be colder from Idaho and Southern California to the Central Plains. Milder from the Southern Plains to Central Gulf to the Upper Great Lakes. Today at Grand Forks, North Dakota, it was 17 below zero.
Are you one who likes to see and feel fine and useful products that show real creative engineering? Well, this is your invitation to examine the broadly patented ANCO Anti-Windlift Windshield Wiper Blade. See the exclusive airfoil that holds the wiper snug on the windshield, even at turnpike speeds. Note ANCO's superior quality and uniform precision, quite obvious when compared. And when you see ANCO blades in action on your own car, you really appreciate the great strides the Anderson Company of Gary, Indiana has made toward greater traffic security for you and yours. You can examine a pair of ANCO anti-windlift wiper blades wherever you see the new big, bright yellow ANCO windshield wiper replacement service cabinet, which your own favorite service stations proudly display, or will soon be able to get from their ANCO wholesaler. Watch for it. Your ANCO dealer's trained serviceman can quick-fit your car with the correct pair of ANCO blades or refills in seconds. A good place to buy gas, too.
The Bob Crew Generation and Lover's Concerto. In just a few minutes, another chance to keep your weekend informative and up to date. With NBC Monitor News on the hour, so stay tuned. This is Ed McMahon.
This is your NBC Monitor. This is your NBC Monitor. This is...
day, TWA flies two nonstop jets to Denver, one of the many cities in the wide world of Transworld Airways.
Down city streets, country lanes, and busy highways, Big Town USA is on the move with people. And WNBC, the voice of Big Town, brings you the sound of Big Town people on the move. On the Brad Crandall Show, weeknights at 9.
Citizens across the country are forming groups to discuss key foreign policy decisions this nation must take. Why not start your own Great Decisions 1967 group? All you need is a handful of interested friends to share your concern about the foreign policy issues that confront us. To learn how to form a Great Decisions group, write Foreign Policy Association, 345 East 46th Street, New York, New York, 10017.
Because he's far out, Lee Leonard reaches you. Afternoons at 1 on the big voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.